chapter 1, verses 20 through 33 this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you speak to us this morning? Lord, through your word as it's read, Lord, would you pour out your spirit? Would you give us ears to hear? Lord, never let us go through the motions. Never let us be so familiar with a Sunday morning that it's just something we kind of do and check off the box. Lord, we're grateful for every time we get to meet. And Lord, we ask that you would sow good seed in our hearts this morning through your word. Lord, you would awaken our souls. Lord, if there's any of us that are lukewarm here this morning, Lord, you would grow us. You would fan into flame just a passion to want to draw near to you, to want to hear your voice. But as we find ourselves at many intersections in life, having to make big decisions and small decisions, as we try to figure out what you have called us to do next or what we should do next, Lord, we pray that in these moments, we would be desperate for you. And that, Lord, you would show up and you would speak and you would grab our attention and you would eliminate any and all distractions in our lives. Lord, for we want to know you more and more and more. And Lord, we want to pick up a cross and we really do want to follow Jesus. And so, Lord, show us how to do that. Teach us through your word this morning. Lord, surprise and delight us today through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. How many of you like to go to the beach? Like, by beach, I mean go to the ocean. How many of you like to get in the water? Okay, so most of you, like, I love the ocean. I love to get in the water and spend as much time as I possibly can in it. Now, I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine this scenario. You're at the beach. You're there with your family, you're there with your friends, and it's one of those times, probably like right now if you were to go, where you could look down the coast and you just see hundreds and hundreds of people all doing the same thing, some hanging out there just maybe up to their knees, others kind of up to their waist, others doing that squat where you're in the water and your head's just kind of above it. You know, some maybe they have these bodyboards and they're just enjoying the waves and really enjoying it. It's one of these days like today. It's 95 degrees, and where else would you like to be, right? In the ocean, somewhere, just enjoying it. So imagine you're there. You're in the water. You're having a great time. Your family's loving it, and everybody's just saying, I never want to leave this place. It's so good to be here, isn't it? And then all of a sudden, about halfway through the day, you start looking and you look down the coast and you start seeing people running out of the water. And you're like, oh, that's weird. They're just running and whatever. And so they're just running. It's just like a wave. And it just keeps getting closer and closer. But you love it. And it's so refreshing. And you're just in it. And you're just committed to that good time. And it just feels so good to be there with your family. And so you don't get out of the water with everybody else. And then next thing you know is you see a lifeguard standing on the shore, and he's got a megaphone in his hand, and he just starts yelling at you, get out of the water. Shark attacks up and down the beach. Get out of the water. And you kind of ignore it a little bit, like that doesn't seem right, right? But it is, and so the lifeguard just keeps shouting, and you got to be making a decision in this moment. And so what would you do? Pretty obvious what we do, right? You get out of the water. Sharks up and down the beach attacking people. And that's not something far-fetched. I mean, if you're paying attention to the news, on June 7th, that's exactly what they did from, I think it was Panama City Beach to Destin. A shark or a couple of sharks attacked three different people. One lady lost her arm recently. And so they closed down the beach. But again, you're there with your family and that lifeguard's yelling, "Get out of the water." A wise person does what? They get out of the water. What does a fool do? Keep swimming. You'll get in trouble eventually. The lifeguard will come in. But anyways, the point is you get the picture. Like when somebody shares something with you that's going to save your life, that's going to help you in a significant way, you like to pay attention, right? And you like to think you do listen to them. Well, this morning, we're going to hear about a voice that's speaking to us every single day. Kind of like that lifeguard. But this is real. And this happens to us every day. And we're going to see is that her name is Lady Wisdom. And she cries out to us every day, giving us direction, seeking to save our life. And the question we're going to be faced with this morning as we make our way through this text is, are we going to listen? Will we listen when Lady Wisdom speaks, or will we choose to ignore her? So let's look at the text together. Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called to you, because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the fear of the Lord. Would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. What we're going to learn from this text this morning is a simple little truth. Since wisdom is calling out to us all, we must listen to her. Since wisdom is speaking loudly at times, most of the time, to all of us, all the time, we must listen to her. And we're going to dig into that truth by taking a look at 3 points this morning. And our first point, we learned this. Wisdom is calling out to us loudly. She's speaking loudly. Before we actually hear some wisdom, we see that we're first introduced to wisdom in verse 20 and 21. It says this, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. Solomon introduces us to wisdom here as a woman. He uses personification, a figure of speech that takes something that's not human and describes it in human ways. So when we say things like, I woke up this morning to the birds singing, we're using personification to describe the type of morning we had. And so what personification is, it's this powerful tool that drives home a powerful point. And Solomon is using this powerful tool to capture our imaginations, to help us think about the ways in which God speaks to us. And how he speaks to us as we seek to live out our days every single day. We don't know exactly why wisdom is being portrayed as a woman here. Later in the book, we'll see that folly is described as lady folly or woman folly in contrast to lady wisdom. Some commentators think that it makes sense that wisdom is portrayed as a woman here because Solomon begins this book or this letter and he's writing to his son. And so he's speaking to his son. And so in some sense, it's his son, he's imagining, or not imagining, doesn't take heart that much to imagine, but if you had a teenage son and you started to describe a young woman to him, you think he's going to be attracted to a woman. So others think it's sort of this motherly figure. And just think about kids. Kids are attracted to their moms when they speak. So it's not this romantic thing. So you want to take that out of your mind. But Solomon is using personification here because he's talking to his son. And he just got done saying, son, listen to me and listen to your mom. When we speak and we teach, this is earlier in this chapter, pay attention to us. It's going to be life to you. And now he moves and he just says, oh yeah, and there's another voice that speaks to you. Not just mine and not just your mom's, but Lady Wisdom speaking to you. The best way for us to get to know her is to look at what she's doing. And I love this section. What she's doing is she's not hiding. She's not playing hide and seek with anybody. She's not tucked away in a corner where no one can see her or hear her. She's not playing games with anyone. She hasn't created a scavenger hunt for us to look for clues. And then once we find that one clue, we got to go then look for another clue so that we might come to the secret that she's trying to tell us. Lady Wisdom plays no games. What she's doing is she's speaking in a very public and very loud way. She's kind of like that lifeguard on the beach with a megaphone in hand crying out, fear God! Trust in Jesus! Obey Him! Follow Him! She's not hiding. Again, verse 20 and 21, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. So where is she? She's in the street. She's in the markets. She's in the busy intersection where everybody has to travel by. She's at the entrance to the city gates. She is not hiding. She's not hiding at all. She's not trying to hide. She's trying to make herself known. She's standing in front of us all the time. That's the picture here, if you can imagine that. It's the lifeguard standing on shore, looking right at you with a megaphone, crying out to you. You can't miss her. If she were here today, she'd be greeting you at the door. She'd be standing in this pulpit, speaking directly to you. The question, though, is are we going to listen? If she was in downtown Woodstock, I imagine she'd be standing outside of Canyons on that nice little new green area they built with a megaphone as everybody's passing by trying to go to their shops or their little concerts and things like that. That's where she'd be. And again, not hiding, not disguising herself. She's there. She speaks. She loves to speak. Solomon tells us that wherever she is crying out to everyone who passes by. She's not whispering to anyone. She raises her voice so that we can all hear her. Now, why would she do this? Why would Lady Wisdom be found in the streets and the markets and the gates? I think what Solomon wants us to see here is that wisdom can be found all the time. All the time. She's standing at the intersection, and this is how I think we're called to think about this. And so we think about that busy intersection. We pass by, oh, there's wisdom. She's standing there again. She's got that megaphone. I think how it works for us is as we think about life, it's not so much, hey, we're driving through the big intersection. It's at every intersection of every decision we will ever make, with the lives we're called to live, Lady Wisdom is there. She's not hiding from us. She's speaking to us. She's making herself known. She's raising her voice. So you don't go to downtown Woodstock to find Lady Wisdom. She's there. She's speaking. She comes through this thing as God raises his voice through his word and speaks to us. It comes through your mom and dad as you're trying to figure out, what college should I go to? And you gather that advice, and they give you good, godly, biblical advice. Lady Wisdom speaks through the truth. She's not hiding. Doesn't want to hide. Wants her voice to be heard. Wants you to hear it. Wants you to hear her clearly. For every decision you ever make, every step you ever take, she's making herself known. Isn't that encouraging? So when you think about it, here's what it really means. God is not hiding from us. He's not. He speaks to us. He's at work in our lives all the time, making himself known. But again, it comes down to this. Are you listening? Or are you ignoring him? In our second point, we learn that ignoring wisdom is dangerous. It's dangerous. What does wisdom have to say to us this morning? If she's calling out, what does she have to say to us? What's she raising her voice so loudly about that we need to hear, that we see here in this section of Scripture? Well, verse 22 kind of begins what she has to say. And she says this, "How long? How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge?" And so if you're feeling a little bit of urgency here, that's supposed to be there. Again, if you think about this, Lady Wisdom, she's speaking and she's out there and she's raising her voice and there's just people ignoring her. It's kind of like being in the ocean and that lifeguard standing there, "Get out of the water." And then eventually, like, the lifeguard's like, they won't get out of the water. Like, either we got to go get them or they're just going to stay there and they might get eaten by a shark or something. But eventually, that's kind of what Lady Wisdom is like. I'm here. How long are you going to ignore me? How long do you simple ones want to continue to be simple? How long do you scoffers? Are you just going to continue to scoff and mock everything I say to you? And you fools, just continue to ignore me and God and his ways. Like, do you really like living that way? And do you like the results you're getting? And that's kind of where she's at. And she's got something to say to them. And so the simple ones, they're people who just can't make up their minds on what they believe and what they want to live for. They just kind of go with the flow. When you think about the simple ones here, that's what she's talking about. It's the people who are kind of like, what's everybody else doing? I guess I'll do that too. It just seems to be real easy. It's just easy to kind of go along with what everybody else seems to be doing. And so they don't usually think for themselves. They let other people make decisions for them. And if you do that in this world, you will not end up trusting in the Lord. You just won't. This world doesn't believe in God. They're not saying, hey, let's follow Jesus. The world's not saying, it'd be a good idea to go to church today and worship God today. Got a whole other ideas for you. And then the scoffers, they're just arrogant people, really committed to themselves in their own ways. They love what they think is best for themselves. And they will mock anyone who thinks differently than them, or they'll scoff at them. And a fool, as Ray Ortland writes, is a thick-headed, stubborn dolt, which is just a stupid person. He doesn't listen. He always knows better, always has an excuse. Nothing is ever his fault. Lady Wisdom's been calling out to these people, and they just keep ignoring her. They just keep ignoring her, keep doing what they think is best. How many times do they need to hear the gospel before they repent of their sins and believe in Jesus? When will they stop doing things their own ways and start fearing God and living out their lives the way God has created them to live it, that they might experience the joys of the life he's called them to live. She goes on to say this in verse 23. If you turn from my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. So it's kind of good. It takes a good turn there. How long? And then she just says, listen, if you turn, I'll pour out my spirit to you. I'll make my words known to you. If you turn around from ignoring me to actually listening to me and doing what I tell you to do, it's going to go well for you. I'm going to pour out my spirit on you, and I'm going to make my words known to you. There's life, and so they're not without hope. And the encouraging here is when we think about this, God does not give up on his people. Does not give up on his people. Doesn't give up on them because they ignore him once or twice. He's holding out hope here. And he's holding out hope to us as well. If they just stop and turn away from their foolishness, life will be different. Lady Wisdom will pour out her spirit and make her words known. She'll give life to everyone who listens to her. See, the Lord is merciful and gracious to everyone who trusts in him. He makes wise the simple. He turns scoffers and fools into humble and faithful people. But the key, what we see here, is turning. The word turn here, it means to repent. It means that fools need to turn away from their foolishness and look to Jesus for their salvation. See, wisdom, it gives us a promise here. If we turn away from ignoring God and his ways to fearing God and obeying him, he will pour out his spirit upon us and give us life. It seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it? Proverbs 3, verse 5 says it this way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. And don't we need to hear that every single day? Making decision after decision, especially some decisions are like, I don't know what to do here. Well, Lady Wisdom cries out, and she says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. There's like a little built-in sort of like, you need to know something about yourself. Your heart will lie to you. Like the whole follow your heart thing, it's not so good all the time. That's not what the Lord says here. He's not saying, hey, you go do what you want to do, and whatever your heart is filled with, run after it. That doesn't go well. We're called to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And he makes straight our paths. I don't know what those paths look like. Sometimes they have turns and stuff, but as we seek to turn away from doing things our way, it's a call to absolutely trust him. That's where I think about Lady Wisdom at the corner of which college should I go to, or who should I marry, or what car should I buy, or whatever it's going to be. Lady Wisdom's crying out, and she's saying things like this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It's going to be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. The Lord knows exactly who we are and what we need all the time. He's created us, and he's sustaining us. He knows how this world works and how our little lives fit into his absolutely wonderful plan for his creation. He does. It's like either he's in control or he's not. Either he's a good God who does all of these things or he doesn't. And what his word says is he does. That's why we're called to turn away from our own ways and to trusting in him. See, we are 100% dependent upon God for absolutely everything. Everything. We need him for our next breath. We need him to help us make us wise so that we might make wise decisions. We need him to help us when we make foolish decisions, repent of those foolish decisions so that we might make wise decisions. We absolutely need him for everything. We need him to give us knowledge and understanding of the truth to live by. We need him to open up our ears so that we might actually hear Lady Wisdom speak. But one of my favorite prayers, Lord, give us wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom today. Give us ears to hear, because without him giving us ears to hear, we are simple scoffers and fools. We listen to ourselves and we do what we want to do and we ignore God and his ways. God is the one that we absolutely need to help us listen to Lady Wisdom. But what happens if we just keep ignoring her? Here's what happens to those who refuse to listen to God. Verse 24 through 28 says, because I've called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon you, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Ray Ortland says, if we are too busy for God, he will judge us and he will not apologize. Hell will never veto the joy of heaven. God's laughter is not a giggle. He does not laugh at the pain of fools, but he does rejoice at the defeat of evil. God is extremely gracious and merciful. He is patient with us, and that patience is meant to lead us to repentance. But if we continue to ignore God, we continue to ignore his mercy, we continue to ignore his grace, we continue to ignore his gift of salvation, we continue to ignore wisdom calling out to us, and we continue to trust in ourselves, there will come a time when we won't receive mercy, but will instead receive his judgment. Galatians 6:7, Paul writing to Galatians writes, he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. What wisdom is trying to tell us here is the time to listen to her is today. It's today. We shouldn't be ignoring her. When God calls out to us and God is speaking to us, and what we know is he's speaking to us all the time, we should be listening. We should be looking to fear God and obey him, because he's God and he's created all this and he knows how all this works and he knows where all this goes, and he's our creator and judge. And wisdom is saying, hey, if you continue to ignore me, so think about that lifeguard. Hey, get out of the water. And all of a sudden, 100 sharks rush in on you and your family, and the lifeguard's going, I'm not getting in there. I warned you an hour ago. I warned you 2 days ago, and you didn't get out. That's wisdom. The personification here is just saying, listen, if you continue to ignore God, choose not to fear God, trust in Jesus Christ, then there will come a time where you then will then receive judgment for your own sin. Wisdom will laugh at you. That sounds kind of scary, doesn't it? And again, the point here is, do not ignore God. Do not put off listening to the Lord. The time to listen to God is today. The time to fear the Lord is today. Solomon goes on and writes this, verse 28 says, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have the fill of their own devices. Refusing to listen to wisdom is not a small thing. It's a decision to intentionally reject God. And this is where she includes simple ones, the scoffers, and fools. And the simple ones are just the ones that go with the flow. So all those are included in just ignoring God and his ways. There's a decision that wisdom is pushing us to make here. She's asking us to decide between doing what we want to do and what God has created and called us to do. C.S. Lewis wrote the following. He says, there's only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those to whom God says, thy will be done. Wisdom is crying out to us today, urging us to surrender our wills and our ways to God and his will and his ways. Wisdom is pleading with us to repent of our sins of unbelief and to look to Jesus as our Savior, encouraging us, pick up your crosses, deny yourselves, and follow him. Wisdom's got a megaphone. It's just saying, fear God today. Listen to my voice today. Trust in me with all of your heart today. This leads us to our final point. Listening to wisdom provides security. In these final two verses, wisdom concludes her speech by telling us, if you turn away from her, you'll be destroyed. But if you listen, and if you listen to her, you'll dwell secure. Verse 32, for the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that listening to wisdom here is better than not, right? Like if we read that correctly, like if you just want to ignore her, here's what you can expect. Disaster and dread. This is a little secret. The world doesn't know this. We know this, okay? If you ignore God, you choose not to believe in Jesus, and you choose not to follow him, here's what you can expect. This is wisdom crying out to all of us. This is what's coming your way or our way. Disaster, dread, judgment. Not good. It's kind of like you stay in the water. Guess what? There's 100 sharks, and they're coming right this way for your family. If you stay in the water, guess what's going to happen? Those sharks are coming after you. But if you trust the Lord, if you fear God, you will dwell securely. You don't have to live life with this sense of dread, this sense of destruction coming your way. That's what wisdom's trying to teach us. What do you want to do? What decision do you want to make? You're going to stay in the water, or you're going to get out? You're going to trust in the Lord, or are you going to ignore him? Two outcomes here. One is dread and disaster. The other is safety and security. Fools might feel secure in their complacency, but the truth is that this complacency is a lie. Chasing cool and maybe catching it with the world might bring you a little popularity and some friends, but in the end, wisdom tells us what you will find is destruction and dread. This world cannot offer you what you're looking for and what you've ultimately been created for. Only God can give you this. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. See, God knows what he's doing. He just does. But we buy into this lie and we think, I can outsmart him today. I can live a happy life today ignoring him, doing what I want. I can get away with this. And again, like, no, you can't. God's not mocked. He won't be mocked. Whatever you reap, you will sow. God will take the wisdom of this age, and he's going to reveal it for just how foolish it is. It doesn't make sense to choose that. It doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to make sense. It doesn't make sense to ignore wisdom, to walk right by her, ignoring God, and just do whatever it is we want to do. It doesn't make sense because he created us, right? We've been created in his image. He knows how this works. He knows how life works. He knows how your marriage is supposed to work. He knows how your parenting is supposed to work. He knows what's best for you as kids. Why would we ignore him? Again, wisdom, she's pushing us. Make a decision. Quit ignoring me. Listen to what God has to say. Your life depends upon it. You will go nowhere without him. You will never succeed eternally apart from fearing God, trusting in Jesus Christ, picking up your cross, and following him. That's what wisdom's yelling out this morning. That's what she's trying to teach us. Quit ignoring her. Listen to this invitation to us from Jesus himself, Matthew 11, verse 27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And then he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you want rest this morning? Well, Jesus says, come to him. Trust him. Do you want to grow in your faith? Come to Jesus. Do you want to live an exciting, fruitful, happy life? The answer then is come to Jesus. Pick up your cross and really believe him. Just try it. I dare you. Just test it for a week. Pick up your Bibles. Read something in there. That's God speaking to you. Pick one thing in regards to what you're currently called to do, and just pray through it and seek to do that one thing. So real simple, if you're kids, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Just try it. See what happens. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Just try dying to yourself every day as you seek to love your wife. Wives, seek to love, honor, and respect and submit to your husbands. Just try it. See what happens. As you try to walk in the fear of the Lord, just try making a decision where you say, okay, Lord, that can go two ways, but I am going to trust you with all my heart, and I'm not going to lean on my own understanding, and I believe that you will make straight my path. It might not be the path I like the most, but I'm trusting you. Just see what happens. Accept wisdom. Really believe and trust. He promises us that if we trust in him, we will dwell secure and be at ease without the dread of disaster. This doesn't mean life will be easy. Doesn't mean you'll be free from suffering. Doesn't mean there won't be any hardships or things in this world will break down. You're going to have to pay for all that stuff. It doesn't mean that stuff goes away. What it does mean is there's a sense of safety. There's a sense of security. It's freedom. It really is freedom to just say, okay, Lord, I trust you. Lord, you got to show up or this doesn't happen. And if it doesn't happen, that's fine because that's the Lord's will. It's trusting him for absolutely everything, and there's safety in it. That's what wisdom is saying. You can dwell secure. You can live life without being afraid of being destroyed. So it comes down to this. Wisdom is speaking loudly. Every moment of your lives, she's speaking, and she speaks through this. Open it up. Ask her. Say, Lord, reveal to me what you want me to do. Lord, enable me to pick up a cross and follow you. Give me faith. Lord, my faith is weak. Give me greater faith to actually believe you. Lord, you have to show up because if you don't show up, I'm going a different direction. He'll show up. He's a great God. He's inviting us. He's just saying, listen. Listen. Fear me. Follow my son. Let's pray and ask him to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your spirit. Lord, for we know that, Lord, we can't do anything apart from you. Lord, we want to hear wisdom. We want clarity. Lord, all of us have a thousand different decisions we got to make. And all of us are weak in so many different areas. But Lord, you say you're crying out and you're speaking. So Lord, give us wisdom this week for specific things that you're calling us to do. And then Lord, give us the faith to believe that you will give us the grace to do what we need to do. And Lord, would you surprise and delight us as well? Lord, you say they dwell safe and secure. Lord, we want that. And so, Lord, I pray that you would surprise and delight your people with that sense of safety, a sense of security of being loved by you. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us that we might hear you and know you, or that we might glorify you in all that we say and do. Lord, we thank you for this time together. As we leave here, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us and send us. Send us out into the community that we might be your witnesses, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much.